You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. One of the joys after sunset is taking in the wonders of the night sky, from shooting stars to the moon and planets. But cities like Sacramento don't provide the best conditions thanks to light pollution. But on weekend nights, a unique facility on the outskirts of Placerville in El Dorado County is offering people the chance to capture these extraordinary sights for free. It's called the Community Observatory and attracts thousands of visitors each year. Randy Hodges is the observatory's chief docent and joins us now to talk about what makes this place so special. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you, Vicky. Vicky, the thing about the Community Observatory is it's very unique. Most observatories in California are part of a college, and you have to go to the college or pay money to attend, or they're part of a club, and you have to be part of the club. But the thing that makes ours unique is that it's free, and it's always open to the public.
That is wonderful. How did you get involved in all of this? When did you, I guess, get bit by the astronomy bug?
Well, actually, it was when I was a teenager. My parents would take us up into the mountains, into a meadow, and we'd watch the Perseid meteor shower. And that really caught the bug. But when I was about 23, 50 years ago, I'm an old guy, I went out and bought a telescope from the local thrift store for $20 and looked at Saturn and the Andromeda Galaxy for the first time, and I was hooked. And I've been enjoying it ever since. And I taught for many years, and then I went into business for myself. And then the last 4 years before I reached 70 years old and retired, I was a astronomy instructor at William Jessup University. So that was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed that. And we moved from Reno, Nevada over to Placerville, and serendipitously, I discovered there was an observatory there and got involved. So that's been a joy.
Yeah, it was kind of like kismet. You mentioned that this community observatory is very unique, and it's awesome that it's free to the public. How did it get started? Who's behind this?
What's cool is that it wasn't a college, again, or a club. It was the local Rotary Club. In the year 2005, Rotary was 100 years old, and they went to each local chapter and said, do something awesome for your community in celebration. And most Rotary clubs put in a table in a park or a sign somewhere or a park bench. And this Rotary said, let's build an observatory.
They took it to another level.
Everybody's reaction was, you are nuts. And they, within a year, had gathered $250,000 from places like Intel and some of the big companies that are around here, Aerojet General, and then also a lot of individual contributions. And they had a bunch of construction people in the Rotary Club, and they put in a lot of sweat and a lot of hard work and built our initial facility. And since that time, we've about tripled that investment. So we have quite a facility now.
Is there anything like it in the state?
The only thing similar is And we actually kind of followed their lead initially is up in Chico, California. And they have one there, but they're not open all the time, and they don't have nearly the program that we do. We meet every weekend, and they meet once or twice a month, perhaps.
So if someone wants to check you out on the weekends, give us a little bit of a walkthrough. What is the experience like?
Well, first, it's always free, and there's no reservation required. So come on up to Placerville. It's about a 40-minute drive from here or so. And the nice thing about that, you mentioned light pollution. We're not a totally dark sky. This isn't Death Valley or the Grand Canyon or the middle of Utah somewhere. Unfortunately, we're too close to you guys. We've asked Sacramento to turn their lights out on Friday and Saturday nights, but they haven't done that.
Yeah, that's an uphill climb.
We're a good compromise between being dark enough to see the Milky Way, which most people have never seen, and being accessible. If we were in Nevada or the Grand Canyon, you guys wouldn't come. So this is a good compromise between those two. And anyway, the only cost is we use the college's parking lot. We're not actually part of the college, but we do use their parking lot. And they do charge $2 to park. But that's the cost. And then there's a short walk up to the observatory. And then once you're there, there are usually five or six telescopes set up, and we have docents at each one of those. And one of the things we do each night that the public loves is we do what's called a sky theater. We have an open-air auditorium where three rings, concentric rings, and you sit back at a 45-degree angle looking at the sky. And we have one of our docents with a laser pointer who's pointing out things in the sky and basically giving a lecture about what's happening in the sky, and lots of questions and answers and a lot of interaction happens there. And we're open for 2 hours in the summertime from 9 to 11 and the rest of the year from 7:30 to 9:30.
Oh, awesome. Someone may be thinking, so here on Sac State, we have a planetarium. What is the difference between a planetarium and an observatory like yours?
Well, they both have their use. A planetarium is great for down here because you don't have very dark skies. The difference is we're actually looking at the sky, whereas in a planetarium, you're looking at a picture of the sky. And the planetarium has the advantage of that weather doesn't affect it. On the other hand, when it's cloudy or rainy, we don't meet. We cancel because we can't see the sky. And that happens, maybe 10 times a year out of the 100 times that we meet. So it does happen, whereas a planetarium, that doesn't happen. And the planetarium also, if you want to see the winter sky, they can do that, even if it's summertime. And we only see the sky of the season. And that is one of the beauties, is that every time you come, you're going to see a different part of the sky. And so, for example, summertime, we call it Milky Way season, because the Milky Way is right across the middle of the sky, and the summer triangle and some of the things that you can only see during the summer. In the winter, it's Orion season. The Orion constellation is amazing. And people come in the middle of summer and say, "Where's Betelgeuse?" And we say, "Sorry, you'll have to come back in January." And different things are visible in the sky at different times of the year.
Do you have a favorite time of year or a favorite site that you were able to take in?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Orion is everybody's favorite constellation, and I love it, of course. And Orion has the Orion Nebula and the Horsehead Nebula and Betelgeuse and the Orion's Belt and just a whole bunch of things that make it special. This time of year, I love the Andromeda Galaxy that's visible right now. Andromeda is the closest galaxy to us, about 2.5 million light years away. So the light left there 2.5 million years ago. And those photons that were emitted by stars in that galaxy are hitting your eyeball tonight, which is pretty mind-boggling to think about that. And in our big scopes, we can see a lot of detail in those objects. But actually, my favorite things are some of the other phenomena. For example, solar eclipses. Last April 8th, was a total solar eclipse that passed all the way across the United States. And we were in Illinois with a group of about 80 people, and we broadcast that back to schools and to the internet, our experience there, and we got to see the sky blacken. It was totally cool. And then last May, we had the Aurora Borealis, which was amazing. Even from Placerville, which is not totally dark, it was bright enough that, particularly in a camera, you could see all kinds of colors, purple and pink and yellow and green. And it was amazing. And the funny thing about that is that the TV stations got a hold of it, and they came up and interviewed us and took pictures on that Friday night, which was May 10th. And then on May 11th, 2,000 people showed up. And our facility can handle 200, but 2,000 had people all over the hills and everywhere. And the one thing that didn't show up on that Saturday night was the aurora. And so sadly, they got to see some things through our telescopes, but they didn't get to see the aurora.
Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Randy Hodges from the Community Observatory in El Dorado County, which offers visitors the chance to observe the night sky for free. I am sure, I mean, obviously there's wonder and it's just an awesome experience taking in the night sky at an observatory, but it's also educational as well. What are some of the most common questions or maybe assumptions that people make that you try to clear up or that you try to inform people about?
Good question. We're constantly fighting with social media because social media will say, spectacular meteor shower this weekend, or you're going to see this conjunction of stuff. And more often than not, they're wrong. And more often than not, they're not as spectacular as people expect them to be. And so we have people showing up, for example, in January and February, they expected to see a planetary alignment. And the social media had shown all the planets lined up in a single row. Well, it wasn't anything like that. The planets are always aligned. They're always in the same line across the sky. The only thing that was unique about that time of year was that you could see multiple planets in the evening sky at the same time. But they certainly weren't in any kind of line. So we had disappointed people with that. But overall, I think our people are pretty savvy, and they really do understand things. You know, we still occasionally have people seeing a meteor and saying, oh, that's a shooting star. Is that really a star? And of course, it's not. It's a little grain of sand traveling through the atmosphere really fast and burning up. But it's certainly not a star. So lots of misconceptions out there. And we spend some time trying to combat that, to give a realistic view of what's actually happening out there.
I mean, clearly astronomy is a huge passion of yours. What do you get out of having the public come to the observatory and kind of reignite or spark that natural curiosity for outer space?
Well, first, let me brag about our docents. We have a staff of about 50 docents and about 5 or 8 junior docents at any given time. So our junior docents are 14 to 18-year-olds who serve just like the regular docents, and they are a major part of what we do. And what we do, I tell people, we share awe. And awe is a word that we often misuse. We talk about, that was an awesome hamburger I had at lunch. Well, that's not awe. Awe is something that happens in your gut, not necessarily in your brain. And the first time somebody looks through a telescope at the moon or Saturn, and they say, wow, amazing, you know, that sparks us. I mean, that is our pay. We're all volunteers. We're not being paid money. But being able to share that sense of awe is something that really is a reward for all of us. And we love that. And we get to do that every weekend, which is amazing. And like I say, our staff is very great. We have I think 4 retired professors. We have people with astronomy degrees. We have a lot of people who are lawyers or executives from Intel and stuff like that who volunteer for us. A lot of very competent people, and they love sharing. And every one of our telescopes has one of them standing next to it. And when you're looking through it, they say, okay, you're looking at Jupiter, and what you see there, those 4 dots, are the Galilean moons, and they describe what that is and how those were discovered, and they just love the teaching experience and sharing that awe with people, and we love that. It's great.
When is a good time to go visit the observatory on the weekend? I would imagine a full moon necessarily probably isn't so great.
That's exactly right. The full moon. And just by comparison, on a no moon night, so for example, this weekend is a new moon, the sky can have as many as 3,000 stars visible to the naked eye. On a full moon night, that drops to about 300 stars. So on a full moon night, we spend a lot of time looking at the moon, which is magnificent. And some of our deep sky telescopes can still get images of galaxies and nebulas and things like that, but not nearly as well as we can do on a new moon night. And in a given month, there's the first quarter moon night, which is actually kind of my favorite because the moon isn't nearly as bright and you can still see the moon, but it goes down relatively soon, and then you have the rest of the night to look where it's dark. Then you have the full moon night, and the full moon night, like I say, is my least favorite because the number of stars you can see is minimized. And then you have the third quarter moon, which doesn't even come up till after we're done because we're only there till 11 o'clock. And then the new moon night, which is this weekend, which is the best. So three out of the four are pretty good. So we try to discourage people from coming upon that full moon night more than occasionally. But once a year, we're a NASA affiliate, and once a year, NASA has what they call the International Observe the Moon Night, and this year, it's on October 4th, and it is on a full moon, and we have a bunch of moon-related activities for kids and stuff, and so the moon has its charms, but come up on a dark night. You'll like it better, I think.
Finally, if someone were to go this weekend, you mentioned, of course, the sky is changing throughout the year. It's a new moon, which is a great opportunity to see thousands of stars. What else is happening during this time? I know from like late July to early August, there was a meteor shower, like the Perseids, I think, were taking place.
Yeah, the Perseids were last Tuesday, a week ago yesterday. And we had about 400 people up watching that. And it's fun doing that because we'll be looking on the telescopes and all of a sudden you hear, yay, wow, you know, and everybody's screaming. But this year wasn't a great year for that because we had an 88% illuminated moon during the meteor shower. Mm-hmm. Last year was great. And we have another meteor shower in December that there will be no moon that is just as good. It's called the Geminid meteor shower. And that's on the night of the 13th of December. The other thing that's happening right now that's pretty exciting is we can see a supernova.
Wow.
And supernovas inside the Milky Way are very rare because we can only see, even in, you know, if you count all the stars you can see from Earth, you see only a few thousand stars. But out of billions of stars, perhaps 200 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way. And so supernovas in our own galaxy are very, very rare. As a matter of fact, there have only been 7 in history. But when you look out at other galaxies, you're seeing billions of stars at the same time. And so right now there's a galaxy called, and you're going to love this name, NGC 7731.
Just rolls off the tongue.
It just rolls right off the tongue. Is about 40 million light years away, and it has a star that has gone supernova. And they noticed it on July 14th, and it's still active right now. So you can see that star. And what's cool is that one star actually outshines the rest of the galaxy. So lots of energy coming out, and the ability to see that is very, very cool. And the other thing that's happening right now is Saturn, like the Earth, is at an angle to the sun, and depending on where it is in its orbit, we see it at a different angle. And right now, the rings of Saturn are edge-on, so they don't look like a ring. They look like a line across the middle of the planet. But that also means the moons are lined up with Earth, and on September 19th, there is what they call a transit, where Titan, which is the largest moon of Saturn, will actually cast a shadow on the planet, and we're going to be able to see that. So we'll have a bunch of telescopes trained on Saturn to be able to see that. So those are two things that are happening, but there's always something happening in the sky.
Clearly, always exciting. Thank you so much for joining us, Randy, and stopping by Insight. It's fascinating. Randy Hodges is the chief docent at the Community Observatory in El Dorado County. And we've been talking about how the space offers visitors the opportunity to take in the wonders of the night sky for free. They are open on weekend nights. We have more information on our Insight page. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.